The views, information, or opinions expressed during the SuccessCast podcast are solely those of the host and individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of SuccessCast, its employees, or sponsors. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to serve as professional advice or endorsement of any products or services discussed. Listener discretion is advised. Today's episode is proudly sponsored by Peak Talent Capital Solutions, a global leader in workforce and human optimization. Peak is committed to improving people, processes, and profits across various industries. From the top floor to the shop floor, they specialize in elevating performance in every role. To learn more about how they can help optimize your business, visit peaktcs.com.
Welcome to another episode of SuccessCast, the podcast where I delve into the stories of individuals who have carved unique paths in their careers, uncovering insights and inspiration along the way. I'm your host, Mike Frazier, and today I'm thrilled to have with us a very special guest, Raven Martin. Raven is a dynamic and accomplished realtor at Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, a name that resonates with excellence in the real estate world. Known for her exceptional client service, innovative strategies, and deep market knowledge, Raven has quickly risen to prominence in the competitive realm of real estate. Her journey is not just about property transactions. It's about helping people find their dream homes and making informed, life-changing decisions. In this episode, we'll explore Raven's path to success in the real estate industry. We'll delve into her early inspirations, the pivotal moments that shaped her career, and the wisdom she's gathered along the way. Raven will also share her insights into the real estate market, advice for those considering a career in this field, and how she balances the fast-paced demands of her profession with her personal life. Whether you're a budding entrepreneur, a real estate enthusiast, or someone who loves hearing about the triumphs and trials of accomplished professionals, this episode promises to be both enlightening and inspiring. So, without further ado, let's welcome Raven Martin to SuccessCast. Raven, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Mike. I'm thrilled to be here and chat with you.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad someone's thrilled to chat with me today. I think I chat so much, I don't think anyone's really that excited. I get chatty all the time.
I doubt it.
Would you agree with that, Grace?
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. Okay. That's why Grace, pardon me, doesn't have a microphone right now. You know, I don't know how much I really want her to chime in, but I'll invite her in, you know. So, Raven, it's really exceptionally nice to have you here. I've known you since you were a very little girl, and you're no longer a little girl. I noticed when you walked in, you're towering over me now, and you attributed that to as we get older, we shrink.
That's right.
I appreciate
that. That's what I think. That's what you think.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm going to check
out. Hopefully not, for your sake. Well,
for my sake. Well, I hope not either. I'll be able to walk under this desk soon enough. All right. And really glad you're here because it's not only watching you grow up, but your circumstances and knowing your father as well as I do. But watching the transition from child to adult to young lady who is now a very successful professional in the real estate world. And I really, it's exciting to watch that. So whenever I watch someone like you or am exposed to that, I want to hear more about it. And I know other people will as well. And so what I'd like to talk about today are some very simple questions. But the one that really sticks out the most to me is the inspirational side of it. So the early inspirations, would you be able to share with us what initially sparked your interest in your field? And who were some of your early role models or sources of inspiration?
For sure. So my initial interest in real estate was sparked by my fascination with architecture and just the design and process of how homes are built. Also the opportunity to make a difference in the community and help people. And I've also come to find out I'm a bit of a therapist also, so I'm helping in that regard as well. But I was inspired by other successful real estates within the community that have a genuine care for people and supporting their community and demonstrating professionalism. And so with the guidance of my mentors and sidetrack for a second. I was in college when it all kind of hit me that I was interested in real estate and I wanted to do something bigger and move faster with my life. So that's when I decided to go real estate. And my mom's actually a real estate agent. So she also inspired me to go in that direction. But with that, I pursued a career in real estate to combine my passion for design with opportunity, like I said, to make a difference in people's lives, and the rest was history.
See, I really like that part. You even said you found to be a part-time therapist as well.
Oh, yes.
So there's a lot of emotional behind what you're doing as you're helping people achieve. Well, they're one of the biggest life dreams people have is,
and the biggest purchases as well.
Yeah,
not alone. I mean, everyone. Right. You know how everyone is with money, me included. So it is. It can be stressful, and especially if you're a first-time homebuyer, and that's where I specialize, just because I know that I'm here for more than just a check, and I enjoy helping people. I was in college for nursing because of my passion for people and helping people. So I choose to deal with those that are not too knowledgeable, and I know they're going to have lots of concerns and stress triggers. And so
That's very impressive, actually. I love that. And I think that when we hold that type of, that's part of your purpose doing this. You know, we had a meeting this morning about that, and I truly believe that when you align your purpose with, you know, your vocation, per se, it becomes you work it as an art form. It becomes much more personal to you. You're not going to stop where others may pause or pause where, you know, people get stuck. You're going to find a way around it. You're going to look for, in a very creative way, an innovative way as well, you'll find the way to help people because people truly matter.
Exactly.
So that's wonderful. I like that a lot.
And another perk of the industry is being able to find your own creative ways and solutions, and those are what set you apart. And in a community full of real estate agents, I mean, you can throw a rock and hit a realtor.
Yeah.
You have to be different. I enjoy a challenge and finding new ways to overcome those challenges. So
that's wonderful. I love it. And, you know, looking back now on this career journey, as the interest sort of started forming in college, you say, and looking back, what are some pivotal moments or decisions that significantly influenced where you are today?
So I think really getting grounded, like I knew what I want, what my, I guess my purpose was. And I took that as I thought nursing would be a good option. Like I said, I just really enjoy helping people and being a nurturer. But college was too slow for me, and I wanted to do it now and be successful now.
I'm impressed with
that.
So
that was a pivotal moment when it kind of clicked in my brain. Like, okay, yes, this is what you want to do, help people. But after doing nursing classes and things, I was like, oh, this kind of grosses me out. I think I'll explore other options. So that was definitely a pivotal moment. Getting my license in itself was a pivotal moment because it was a journey. I'm not a good test taker, I will say. And so just getting to that point, that was pivotal as well in my life and as a professional, kind of navigating how to be a professional real estate agent and just growing in my personal life and professional life and going into this new endeavor of real estate. It's a whole new world. So I think those were two of the most pivotal moments for sure.
That's fantastic. And I've always been impressed with your communication style, even as a much younger than you are now. And you're still very young, which is impressive. Not only your work ethic, your drive, this desire you have to help people, you found a way, utilizing your word pivot, you found a way to pivot off of that into something and then magnify what you went into, the real estate field, into feeding back to your purpose, your ambition. And that's wonderful. Not many people can do that. And so that's extremely impressive. And I watch you on social media and I try to share as much as I can. If I miss a few, don't blame me.
That's okay.
To watch you being in more of a consultancy role, I like what you're doing there. I think that it's you know, just about, I don't want to, you know, belittle any role out there that anyone have, but I've dealt with real estate agents a lot in the past, both commercial and, you know, personal, and they're not always as, well, the word perky doesn't quite meet the need here. I don't think they're as engaged,
right?
Happy, joyful to be assisting someone. I've worked with some before that absolutely seem like a chore. And so I like the fact that you not only melded with your passion and what you feel like is your purpose, but at the same time, it melds really well with your behaviors and your attributes, and which are extremely good. You're an you know, I've always hated the term people person, but everyone utilizes it. Because some people are just a people person in a role wearing a specific hat.
Mm-hmm.
When that hat comes off, they're not a very good people person. You're a people person 24/7. How do you keep that buoyancy up? I mean, you know, especially right now, and we spoke about this when you first got here, is keeping yourself motivated in a very, you know, a very down economy right now.
Yeah, for sure. To go off what you said about not everyone having that, it also poses another challenge for me, because it's like people have this stereotype for real estate agents. And so they already come with like a negative viewpoint on real estate agents. So not only do I have to do my job, but also kind of steer that and show them that there are people, real estate agents, that do care about them and willing to help. But what was your question again? I'm so sorry.
No, it's how you maintain that, or how you maintain it, actually. Because I know for a fact, and I deal with a lot of people and behaviors and workplace behaviors and work behaviors and on top of that, mindsets and all of the things that I work in daily, I've noticed that, you know, especially this time of year, we talked about that earlier,
mm-hmm.
It has its impact in a lot of ways across a lot of different industries. And ours, you know, from the one from my staffing side that I have still open and working on diligently daily, it's impacted in fourth quarter. It seems right now that your profession is being impacted as well due to these high interest rates and the other things that you were talking about when we first sat down here. And it's always impressive to me to, when I met you in the lobby, how joyful you were. And because right now, I don't see that coming out of a lot of people. It's tough out there. How are you dealing with it?
It is tough. And in a world of tough and hardships, I just want to be a light for other people. And like I said, I love people. And if someone's having a bad day, I'd love to kind of sense that and turn it around and just bring happy, positive vibes their way. I also have a close relationship with God, so it takes a lot of prayer and asking for guidance, and just even if things are kind of falling apart on the inside, not letting that show on the outside and still staying positive, because on the opposite side of the coin, you could dwell in the negativity and the, oh, this is so hard, am I going to make it? But instead, you have to turn that around and be confident that you will make it. And it's just, it's a part of the job. And everyone's feeling the burn of the economy right now. And so all bad things do pass. But like I said, I just like to bring the joy and the happiness and the good vibes to people.
Do you think that because you took a little more time, you had that moment of clarity in college, and you figured out really what you felt like you wanted to do, that you wanted to pursue a profession that you're in now, do you feel like that alignment with your purpose now actually gives you more strength you can draw on in times like this? These times are tough. I know it's like with me and with the folks I work with a lot, you know, with as things change and people's work is affected or they're bringing in less money than they did, you know, throughout the year. These things can have a tremendous impact on people. But I found those that are more aligned with their purpose and what they do, they're able to draw upon that pool of strength. Is that, would that be something that you would say about yourself?
I definitely agree with that. I feel like when you genuinely find your purpose and know, I've had so many full circle moments that it's like, this, I'm in the right place. I know I'm meant to be here. So when you, like I said, when you genuinely find your purpose and act on that, it's kind of like, even though there are bad times, yes, with anything, I know that I'm meant to do this. And so everything will be all right.
You hit on a key factor and act on it and act on it. That's so important nowadays. It's fascinating. So I love to hear you talk about these things, because a lot of people suffer with a complete opposite mindset, or they're like a light switch up and down. It's extremely tough for them to find balance. So I'm certain, Liz, there's someone out there that's going to draw strength from this conversation from you. So that makes me happy.
I sure hope so.
They will, trust me. You know, challenges we've been talking about and overcoming. What were some of the biggest challenges you faced along the way, and how did you overcome them?
So being a new young agent, obviously anyone younger, especially females, it's people tend to take you less serious and think, she's younger, she doesn't know what she's talking about. So that's definitely a challenge that I still deal with. But now I feel more confident in dealing with that because I am more knowledgeable and have had it more than once. So that's one thing. Obviously, the market fluctuations right now, for example, when interest rates are high, just the economy in general is not at its best. That's definitely a challenge. And managing client needs. Sometimes you get overwhelmed because there's so many different people needing different things. And it's kind of hard sometimes to kind of switch the professional life off and have your own personal time to continue growing and learning.
Well, I can attest to that.
Yeah. So that's definitely a challenge. But like I said, I love a challenge, so I love finding new ways to address those issues and challenges. To overcome some of those, I stay informed always about the market trends, what the market's doing, what economists are predicting. I think that's super important because people ask you all the time, is now a good time to buy? Should I wait? So that's very important. Prioritizing tasks, time management. Like I said, sometimes it's hard to switch off because you feel like this is your job to answer these people and cater to their needs. But as with everyone, there's a time and place, and you don't work 25/8. It's not healthy for you. And to continue being the great person you are and great realtor, you have to have time for yourself and time to learn and just recenter. Yeah, those are some of the challenges and how I...
Well, those were mighty challenges. I think the youth challenge. Now, that's something I experienced when I first came into this, believe it or not. Believe it or not, at one point I was your age and even younger. And I can tell you that, you know, we when we speak of ageism, you know, mostly it's aligned with, you know, the older generations being discriminated against, or there's a bias due to my age. And it's... Mm-hmm. But I believe it's actually more so, especially nowadays in the most younger generations, because the generations most recent haven't done a really good job of showing themselves to be a person that you could depend on or someone that you could draw wisdom from. Right. I believe that having that, one of the things that I had to do, and I'd love to see if you agree with this, is I had to not only hustle through it, but I had to learn at a pace that was unlike anything anyone else would be willing to do. And I called it that much more, meaning I was always willing to go the extra mile, do the things no one else wanted to do. I wanted the experience. I needed the experience. But to gain that, you know, where people place their trust in you is massive, and it's very difficult when you're young. And so I experienced the same thing. To hear you speak about it, I know other people are experiencing it. And I would think that you probably had to add a lot more to your workload above and beyond just traditional real estate duties from a learning and development perspective. Would that be correct?
Oh, yes, for sure. I mean, I honestly use it as fuel to to learn more quicker and faster and better and learn more ways to get, not necessarily get people to trust me, but come across in a way with words and actions that they can trust. So yes, for sure. And it's a love-hate relationship with that bias and judgment of youngness. But like I said, I am thankful for it in a way because it does give me fuel to do better and learn more. And like you said, at a much more rapid pace.
And you'll be very thankful for it many more years down the road. Trust me. The sacrifices I made at a much younger age are paying off now in just multiples. It's undeniable that it's worth it. And I add there that, you know, we've got such everyone's got such a hard line now against what they term as hustle culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I came up through real hustle culture. Real hustle culture doesn't really exist anymore to me. There's very few people that actually...
It's the complete opposite.
Right. And there are people though, but there's a constant war against it in an effort to, make people a little bit more lethargic. But I think in that sense, you're overcoming all of that. You knew that there was no way you were going to get to where you needed to be and do anything other than the way you did it.
For sure. I feel like one thing I hate seeing more than anything is wasted potential. And it's like if people just took action,
that's right.
I mean, you only get one chance at this life. So why not do your best and be the best that you can and just be a good person and aim for success? And anyone can do it. You just have to take action. It's hard. Nothing good comes easy, but it's so worth it.
It is so worth it. And to hear you reiterating what I think, I'm like a broken record, I guess, a lot of days around here, but I work in effort and action and mindset and all of that. And you're just absolutely laying it out exactly as I normally do, that without that component, without that added extra effort and action component, nothing's going to arrive for you that you want.
Right.
Plenty will arrive that you don't want if you won't take the action. Trust me.
You have to choose your hard. That's what I like to live by. I mean, you can choose your hard. Like, it's hard to wake up and go to work, but it's also hard not having any money paying the bills. So
yeah, that's a little bit more difficult, yeah, than rolling out of bed in the morning. I'm going to go here because I really like your tone and what you're saying. But for those contemplating a career similar to yours, what advice would you offer them? And are there any misconceptions about your profession along those lines that you'd like to address? Maybe someone sitting out there saying, I'd really like to do this, but you made a good point that maybe they don't feel like it would meet their purpose, or it's not exciting enough, or it's not going to garner them the career, their career success quotient they're trying to arrive at. What advice would you give those people?
Certainly, yeah. So I feel like a lot of people think that real estate is easy, big money. You just sit back and people will come to you. Everybody, not everybody, but when someone needs to buy or sell, boom, big check, close, done.
Right.
But no, it's so much more than that. So anyone contemplating a career in real estate, my advice would be building strong interpersonal skills, because it's so much more than just the business side of it. It's dealing with people and getting someone to trust you is hard, especially in our world where there's so much broken trust and all those things. I'll save that tangent for another day. But
we can have a rant session one day. We can compare rants.
Oh, that'll be from dusk till dawn. But yeah, definitely. I would say prioritize building strong interpersonal skills and cultivating a deep understanding of the local market. You have to be willing to put in the work to know what you're talking about to be able to allow people to build trust in you. Success often hinges on effective communication and the ability to navigate complex transactions. So you have to be knowledgeable and be willing to take action, to put in the work, to know what you're talking about and be able to effectively help and serve people. And one common misconception, kind of tying back to what I just said about what people think real estate is all about is that it's solely about buying and selling, when in reality, it's so much more than that. And it involves extensive market research, negotiation, and a keen awareness of legal objectives. So coming from not knowing anything about real estate and how it works, and it's a lot to learn, and you have to be willing to learn all the things and learn how to negotiate for people and not be scared to break hard news and hurt people's feelings sometimes. So definitely if I had to say one thing, it would be it's so much deeper than just buying and selling.
See, I believe that what you just described was the life of a recruiter as well.
Yeah.
You know, the ladies that work for me as in a recruiter roles, you pretty much just described exactly what they have to be willing to undertake and how they must understand that is a massive part, even the legal side of it and all of that. It's extremely, I don't think people really realize, especially when you look at real estate, because I've had so many people say, oh, I'm going to go into real estate. And I don't think they become very successful at it. It takes a different personality, a different style. I believe also a different mindset. But it takes me also back to that hustle culture, pardon me, that you have to align with. You know that you're going to have to get up and do it better and do it faster and do it stronger. Or you can just be lumped in with the average. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that anyone enters a career wishing to be seen as just average. At least I don't believe they do.
For sure. And I think that's why the real estate fail rate is so high. I think it's, I want to say 82.8%, because I think exactly that reason, which can be scary, but it's just the simple fact of people not putting in the work and hustling and doing the things that need to be done. I mean, if you do the things that need to be done, it definitely pays off and it's so worth it.
Or do you think sometimes also that they didn't do their homework? Now, I think maybe your mother's in real estate. Mm-hmm. How long's your mom been in real estate?
8 or 9 years.
Okay, so you had a little bit of feedback there. Maybe you could draw some wisdom from mom.
Mm-hmm.
And get the ins and outs, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Right.
How important is that? I mean, I've always thought that people, before they enter into a massive career shift, that they ought to seek out a mentor and maybe even spend some time in that role. I remember a time when people would say, listen, I'm going to go work there and I'm going to work there for free for a couple of hours a day if I have to, just so I can gain the knowledge of the profession or the industry so that I will ensure that I match and align with it, rather than just saying, ooh, that sounds great. And I think a lot of people also just see dollar signs and mm-hmm. they jump right in without doing or having at their disposal the very important things that you did. And on top of that, a mother that's in it, but also a father that's fantastic, great friend of mine, and I've known forever and a moon, who is very motivated for your success as well. That you had to draw strength from that as well.
For sure. And like you said, I think it's so crucial that people do their research before getting into anything. I mean, even if you buy something on Amazon, most people do their research on that.
Right.
Also, your career, I mean, that's one of the most important aspects of your life. And time is money. You don't want to get into something and waste however many months and realize you hate it. And then you just went however long with probably not making money if you hated it, and just wasted time that could have been utilizing your purpose and what you're really meant to be doing. So I think doing the research and your homework is very, very important.
Well, I can't express how much that I believe that people should spend a little more time before they jump right into things, and don't necessarily always look at the money.
Mm-hmm.
Look at also the life satisfaction that it's going to bring you. I mean, I was on a podcast not too long ago, and they asked me a couple of questions, basically about how I got to where I was and what I did. I'm, you know, spoke about that much more and all of that. But I also said, I don't think that people take the time anymore really to realize or to spend time investigating and really going deep into who or what they want to become aligns with their personality, behaviors, their own mindset. You know, we have a problem. We could go into this as well. You know, there's a very infantilized mindset out there now to where people are easily wounded, easily hurt. And that's folks that are adults that basically act like children on the job. So I think that you're very lucky. You have quite a great deal of maturity and to be able to draw strength and information and also, you know, that get that giddy up going on. Because once again, your dad is a go-getter. Your mom's in the profession. I'm sure that had a lot to do, and I'm very happy for that. And really kind of leads me into this, a nice segue is, since taking on your current role, what have been some of the most valuable lessons that you've learned, you know, and also, you know, apply it to both professionally and personally?
Okay, for sure. So professionally, I've learned the importance of, well, this can be professionally and personally, the importance of adaptability in the ever-changing real estate world or just the world in general. And just working with so many different types of people. I mean, in 2023, there are so, I mean, anyone in work that works in customer service or sales, they know, but there's so many different types of personalities and communication methods people prefer and so many different things. So adaptability and being able to adapt and cater to different types of people and cater to their wants and needs versus a completely different personality with completely different needs and wants. And that has definitely been important for me. And also in my personal life, I feel like that makes me more of just a better, well-rounded individual, being able to talk to and make conversation with absolutely anybody.
Oh, love
that. Another reason I love people and I love talking to people because I feel like I can get on anyone's level and resonate with them and talk to them. So that's definitely important. And then also personally, I've discovered the importance and significance of patience and resilience, which can also tie in professionally as well. I say that to say patience and resilience because the industry often presents unforeseen challenges, market conditions, and that requires a steady mindset and proactive approach to problem solving.
Well, that's amazing because I don't hear that as often as I should. So you're sort of echoing. I feel like I'm in an echo chamber. How do you feel, Grace? Do you feel like that you've, how do you feel about this? You hear this every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy how like similar it is.
Very, very. And I like that. But the qualities that you're bringing to this and the mindset that you're applying and how you've gone about it is sort of, it would be, could be used by a lot of people as a sort of a you're like the poster child of what you should do before you make this very large decision of choosing the real estate profession or anything for that matter that's really like a front-facing role that someone would have where there's a tremendous amount of interaction necessary with the public. I mean, I don't think that people quite understand how difficult that is and how you do need to spend so much time on your own self. So that's why I was very curious, not only when we first started talking, because to maintain, I know it's very difficult for me as well, and I write about it and I work on it daily, but to maintain that level of self, your own ability to get up every day and no one has to jumpstart you, I'm certain. No one has to come along and say, giddy up. Now they don't, I'm certain. You're driving now, you're pushing, you're pursuing, you're in pursuit of so much more. I think that's a wonderful thing, and people need to align a little bit more with that. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I completely agree, and I think where so many people go wrong is not doing the internal work first.
Yeah.
And assessing your downfalls and what you can work on and getting all those things sorted out first and realizing your strengths and how you can use those and help people and just make a difference in the world for the better. Because frankly, I feel like we're going to hell in a handbasket in this world today.
Well, yeah. And I can see where you can, you know, my wife and I talk about it a lot. I mean, you know, you just turn on the news for a few moments. You just go out and interact just a little bit in your community. and you'll see how things have dramatically shifted. I believe much more from COVID. I believe COVID sort of just punched it along even more. It's like a steroid shot for stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go there, but I truly believe that. I call it the perfect storm of stupid. And I have watched so many people unnecessarily fail just because they could not apply the very simple things and processes and protocols and mindset shifts, working on yourself, becoming, you know, that self-efficacy where you're operating at the highest level, where you are looking out for yourself first, because it's what brings the rest. You're not going to make a big difference or massive change or fill a bank account with mediocrity. And I've always been a little more surprised nowadays than I was earlier coming up throughout my career, because you would think that these lessons would be, you know, permeating society, but it seems to be going the opposite direction.
The complete opposite.
It's very, very wild. And, you know, so brings me to this. We've talked about your motivation. We've talked about some things. I really dig that. But what are your future goals and ambitions? I mean, looking forward, what are some goals or ambitions that you have for your career, and how do you plan on achieving them?
So ahead, looking ahead, I do this probably at least once a week to make sure I'm on track and I'm working on the right things to propel me in the direction I want to go. That's another thing. I feel like creating goals for yourself and having a bigger picture in mind makes it easier in the day-to-day, because you just remind yourself of what you're working towards and your goals. So that's extremely helpful. But looking ahead, my primary goal is to expand my real estate portfolio. And I plan to achieve that by fostering strategic partnerships with people. Once again, I love dealing with people. And just I think partnerships are, I'm big on teams and helping each other and help me help you. I don't want to compete with you. I mean, if you can share something with someone that makes them better and vice versa, you can't put a price on that. So I think that'll be important in my success in the next 5 to 10 years. Also, negotiation skills, that's super important. All clients want someone they know is going to go to bat for them and have their best interest and do what it takes to get them that. So I feel like you can never say you've mastered that all the way. It's a work in progress.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just turned 56 Sunday, and I don't mind saying that, this past Sunday, pardon me. And I'm still learning. I'm still working to improve myself in my roles, not only as a business owner and a CEO and a consultant and all the other hats I tend to wear, but also as a leader of individuals and young people who all I'm concerned about is making them as good or better than I am. And I think that you've got to, once you have mighty big, what they call BHAGs or big, hairy, audacious goals, once you have those out there in front of you, what else could you possibly do? Now, you could crumble under the weight of that. What you just said is, you know, big stuff. It's ambitious. How do you work against, because there are some that would allow that by not being able to dissect it and work at it piece by piece, maybe try to get it all at once. I don't know if that's very attainable nowadays, but they crumble under the weight of their own expectations, and then it turns into self-loathing more than it does anything else. So how do you, now that you have this grand vision, these goals, and to make the statement that you are always improving, you always are working on becoming a better Raven, and not only professionally but personally. Right. I think a lot of people need to hear that. It's one thing for me to say it. You know, people always, you know, assume as you get up, oh, he, you know, silver spoon, you know, someone must have gave it to him. No one gave me anything. I built this from the ground up. And I did start in this business when I was 20. And all the things that you talked about not being taken seriously and how hard you had to work to change those perspectives and attitudes, that resonates with me. So I think more young people need to hear that you don't just, well, you can't just get up out of bed or walk out of school or walk out of college with a degree and it's dumped in your lap. You know, it's not the guarantee of the company car and $80,000, $100,000 a year salary, free dental and vision and all that stuff. That comes with work. You earn that.
Exactly.
And, you know, when you talk about trust, I believe that's what you're working. You earn trust. It's, you know, a lot of people nowadays just believe, well, I'm owed trust. No, it doesn't work like that. You earn trust and you earn your way through that. So it's impressive to hear you talk about these things, and kind of brings me, I think we've kind of touched on a lot of the things I wanted to, but it gets me to an area where I want you to, do you have any personal antidotes? Can you share a memorable story or an antidote from your career, you know, that left a lasting impact on you?
Most definitely. So this, anytime I'm asked that question, I'd go back to the same scenario. It was my very first real estate transaction. I was so nervous because it was an older couple and they wanted to sell their house. They were getting separating. So they were selling their house and the lady was buying another house. Like I said, I was so nervous. But just to help her, we made it to the finish line. But to help her and see the joy of her accomplishing her goals of her real estate goals, and kind of looking back, like, I did it. I knew I could do it. I did it. And just the fulfillment I got from her, me playing a role in her accomplishing her real estate goals. That was so memorable for me and such a full circle moment, because during that time, it was so overwhelming. I knew I was where I wanted to be and needed to be, but it's so overwhelming. And many people fall, like you said, some people let it consume them and it's self-loathe. Yeah, which is so easy to do. Nothing good comes easy. So I had to choose my hard once again in during that time. But it was so worth it. And it just pushed me to do more and more and more. And so my very first real estate transaction would have to be it.
Well, that's a wonderful anecdote to share, because I think it also touches back upon your character. So your very first real estate transaction is feeding back into your character and your purpose. That had to kind of hook you even more, didn't it?
It's like hitting a baseball on the sweet spot of a bat.
I mean, that's amazing. That's like I said, that's the best anecdote to share, because once again, that's you know, when I asked folks that same question to share their an anecdote or a story from their past that sort of form, they're always kind of, sometimes they're negative, sometimes they're sort of base, sometimes they are things that happen to them that and sometimes it really doesn't resonate with their personality or what they're trying to achieve. It just sort of resonates with a story, a goofy story or a funny story. That to you, from you, it resonates once again back to your character. So it's fantastic. I love that.
And me and that lady are still great friends to this day. I mean, we built such a strong bond and relationship.
The next question right out of my mouth. So thank you. That's great.
You can go ahead with your question, and I'll.
No, that was the question. You did great. I wanted to know how that did. What bore fruit out of that? Do you still stay in contact? I'm certain it was a very powerful experience for her as well.
It was, because it was our first time navigating these waters ourselves. When her and her ex-husband purchased the house, obviously they did it together, and she knew if she didn't know something, he would take care of it and whatever. But,
right.
On the purchasing side, on her end, we were in it together. I mean, first timers, we were in it together, and we made it through though. And like I said, we still, I mean, talk very frequently, and this was almost 2 years ago.
That's wonderful.
So
that's wonderful. And that's a wonderful story to share as well. I appreciate that very much. I like the fact that you did that. So here we are, and we're today, and we know this market won't always be here. It won't always remain. We'll suffer through it. We'll become better for it. It is part of growing and growth in our roles, in our professions. But your vision for the future in terms of your industry and your profession, where do you see it heading in the next 5 to 10 years? And how do you hope to contribute to that evolution?
So I definitely see I mean, up until now, technology has become so prominent, even in grocery stores and every other aspect. So I definitely see it playing more of a even bigger role than it does currently in the real estate industry, which tends to kind of weed out realtors when they get disheartened, like, oh, well, these AI bots and people are going to be able to go online and look for houses. They don't need a realtor. They can purchase everything online, like buying a car. But so I see that coming. Data analytics and AI.
Oh yeah. AI is huge. Yes. I mean, it's a threat to a lot of professions, but it really isn't in a lot of other ways as well.
Right.
Not when you have a very personal touch and when your job is human beings, how does AI replace that interaction? It can certainly locate to me and it can make suggestions, and I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but it's so ironic that you're talking about that at the same time that the profession that most of my folks are in the recruiting profession, are worried about AI as well, or should be. And the only ones that should be really worried about it are those that are doing the bare minimum. I really believe that.
Exactly. And rather than letting that get me down or discouraged, I plan to utilize that and also like use it, let it help me and come up with new ideas on, because I know I'm different and I know that humans make all the difference in a real estate transaction and any other thing to do with life or big decisions. So I plan on utilizing it and coming up with more ideas and ways that I can prove and show my value as a real estate agent. It's worked this far, so
that's right.
Fingers crossed that it will continue to.
And are you prepared due to that? Maybe AI could be utilized and coupled with your personality, your ambition, your drive, your character, your career choice that you have here is really you're compelled to help people beyond just an app. I believe that people like you and others who truly are passionate about who they are and what they do will not see AI as a problem, but as a way to profit, that they can actually meld that into what they already have and actually enhance their own, their service delivery or the what they offer to the public, their service or their what they're selling, their piece or their widget. This is going to be extremely important to me because I believe that you can take this AI problem and turn it into a profit, but you have to see it like that. You have to go and get it and grab it and do something with it. But if you're just worried that a bot or AI is going to come take your job away from you, 9 times out of 10, it probably will.
Exactly.
But you have to decide that, you know, it's not going to impact me. I'm going to utilize this to make myself strong, even stronger, a stronger presence and a stronger force to be reckoned with.
Exactly. And if you have the ability to do that and the motivation, you'll do exactly that. But so many people, once again, they don't take action and they see the problem, let it consume them and just throw their hands up and on to the next career or whatever it may have you. So if you have the motivation to do it and you turn that problem around, it can most definitely be a solution and a way to better yourself and your right. career and professionalism all in one.
I think with the advance of AI, I believe that it will affect a lot of things, but it will affect a lot of the things that, and I hate to put it this way, but very marginal roles.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want anyone out there to believe that I'm telling you that your role is marginal, but I do encourage you to maybe posit that question, bring that question back to yourself. Is my role so marginal that it could be impacted by this? So how could I, impact my own learning, my own development? What can I do to get better? How can I use this threat as you used the term fuel earlier, how can I use this now to get better as a human and at the same time utilize this technology to enhance my own service delivery or my own, you know, no matter what role you're in, especially if you're dealing with people, I believe that people really want that human touch. It's easy. I don't really like going and buying things through bots and all of that. I've had some very negative experiences with it. Now, I don't mean that that wouldn't improve, but I truly believe that this is a wake-up call. We're at that pivotal moment in history to where people are going to decide, just how good do I want to be? How good do I want to live? Now, am I going to let this thing come along and impact me? Maybe it might. I might need some, you know, some upskilling, some reskilling, or maybe I just need to do an entire shift. But if you're in a career like you are, I would be kind of fascinated with the technology and how I could manipulate it to make me better and increase my sales.
Exactly. That the higher level of thinking is what most people lack. So I think that's important to be one step ahead and do have that higher level of thinking that you will be successful and you will make it. You just have to put in the work and creativity and innovation and all those things to do it, and you will do it. It's just that simple. Rather than getting caught up with the ways of the world and what the world's telling you and all the temptations and the excuses for mediocrity. I mean,
it's the comparison.
Exactly.
That we go into and you know, how we start comparing our journey to everyone else's journey and what they have and we don't have, which is just ugly stuff altogether. But also, and it kind of, I brought a question, fear of failure. Do you have it?
I don't, because I have so much confidence in myself and know once again that I'm where I'm supposed to be. Although times may get hard, as with anything, I mean, life's a roller coaster.
I love it.
Just as your career is.
That's right. So
it's just, I mean, it may be just some downs or some lows are lower than others, but they're not forever. So I definitely don't have a fear of failure in any aspect, because I refuse to let myself even go there in my thoughts and thinking. So no, I do not have fear of failure.
I love it. And see, I had to throw that in there because I was pretty much, I could have bet money on that would be your answer. And I respect that. But that fear of failure holds so many people back. And back to that AI statement, you know, that is what that's all about. I mean, if the failure would be is, well, it's going to make me obsolete. It's going to make the role obsolete. It's going to make the whole industry obsolete. And they've said that about so many things. I remember back when, and I have been around this long in my profession, that when Monster.com and all of that came along, the job boards, the giant job boards, well, that was the death knell for staffing agencies or recruiters, according to the experts. Well, it wasn't. And they're now utilized as tools by the profession. So I think that we do have these shifts and they're just natural, but you can either succumb to them. You can either just lay down and say, well, with that fear that, oh, this is going to make me obsolete or my profession obsolete, or you can say, well, hell no, I'm not going to participate in this, with the exception of how can I manipulate this thing and how can it make me more successful in what I do? I feel that's what you'll do with it.
For sure. I think adaptability, once again, is so very important, because so many people are stuck in their beliefs and ways that there's only one way to do it, and anything new, I don't like it, I'm not going to do it. So,
well, those are comfort zones.
That's right. And those are...
It's an ugly place. There was nothing grows in it, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But, you know, to wrap this thing up, I think that actually talking with you and our conversation has enlightened me quite a bit. And it's impressive that where you are at such a young age, how motivational you could be to others. And I hope, and we're going to make sure, and you better make sure that a lot of people hear this, because they need to hear it right now. They need to understand that there is a way around or through, but you know, we can just all lay down right now and just give up, and that's not going to help anything. You are the epitome. You're the poster child for this, and you've got to huge career ahead of you, I know. And it's been an absolute honor to spend time with you today.
Thank you.
I don't think I would have ever thought when I first met you as a young little girl that you would be taking me to school on a podcast that I have.
I love it.
So I love it. And I do appreciate you being here. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I hope we get to talk to you a lot more.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me.
Indeed. Any shout outs you want to give before we boogie off?
The other Mike Martin.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
He's been a huge supporter and just motivation to me and himself. So
your dad is a hell of a man.
Yes.
He's a good man. I'm honored to know him as well. So that's good. Well, fantastic. And until we get to talk again, I wish you nothing but future success. And I know that if anyone's going to set the new standards, it will be you.
Thank you so much. I sure hope so. I know so.